As we come to pray, Father, we acknowledge you in this place and thank you for your sweet presence that is already here. Thank you, Lord, because, Lord, you anoint me afresh. I ask that, Lord, you put the same anointing upon me, upon the ears and the hearts of your people that will hear me, all that will hear me both here locally and those, Lord, in diaspora through the MixLR and through our website. Thank you, Lord, because as I speak, Lord God, you have mercy upon me. Help me to speak and deliver this message today as I should, as an oracle of God under the covering of my fathers. Please, Lord, I ask that you put the same anointing upon my heart and my lips, upon the ears and the hearts of all those who hear me, both those who are here present physically, locally, and those who hear me remotely by electronic means. I pray that your word will flow freely from you through me to your people to do an internal, eternal work in our hearts and lives, causing us to be transformed, changed from within, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge of your word, and our emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of your spirit in Jesus' name. I further ask and pray that as we speak, the power of the Holy Spirit will be released in great and insufficient measure to back these words wherever they are heard over all the earth, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men to become doers of this word which they hear and not hearers only in the name of Jesus. I further pray that all you help me to be precise, to be concise, to speak with precision, to redeem the time, not saying anything unnecessary, and therefore bringing forth out of the word things both old and new, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, because you are merciful, you are gracious, and you are faithful. You do more than we can ask, imagine, or think. In Jesus' name we are praying. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord tonight. I want to thank God. Please see that. Thank God for his mercies again. I want to thank God for the great honor, the privilege to come to stand at this hallowed pulpit, the pulpit of my fathers. I want to thank them for trusting me with this pulpit to speak the word forth as a word in season. So I want to thank Pastor and Mummy for their love, their example, their faithfulness, their tutelage over the years. It's a great privilege indeed to be part of this ministry and to see and to behold has been, is doing, and will yet do in this house. And so we want to thank God again for the anointing upon the house. And I trust as I speak tonight, a measure of that anointing will be released in and through the words I speak upon me, in and through the words I speak, to touch each of our lives individually and collectively, causing us to be transformed and changed from within and to become more like the Lord Jesus, our pattern and our goal. So I bring a word to believe laid upon my heart early this morning as I was waiting upon him, and I titled it, after a while of thinking about the title, I titled it Thoughts, Words, and Divine Destiny, and all of them are linked together. Thoughts lead to words, and the thoughts and words ultimately will either not or will either bring you into your divine destiny. It's a question of time. It's a question of how diligent we are in thinking the thoughts of God, speaking the words of God, and then how diligent we are will bring us into our divine destiny. So I believe this is the word the Lord gave me for today. It's a fundamental thing. These things are fundamental to our success as Christians and also fundamental to the attainment, I believe, of our divine destiny. However, the truth is, this is one area which very many people, including Christians, pay very little attention to. And the reason is that this area is very private to all of us. I mean, unless you tell me, nobody can know your thoughts. Hello? It's private. It's something that you have control over, so to speak. Although we know the devil is always there. But the essence is, I can't look at you and tell you what you're thinking. I can only do that when I see the manifestation of your thoughts, or you choose to say them out and I know what you're thinking. So, you know, people, all of us do it really in one way or the other. But most people just hide behind their thoughts. And many a time, our thoughts do not always transmit or translate or rather our actions, rather, don't always translate or transmit what we're thinking or even what we're supposed to be thinking. So it's a very, very private area. All of us have a thought life which, you know, we keep to ourselves, very personal, hidden from sight of men. And unless you demonstrate in some way, it's very difficult to know what exactly is on your mind. You know, sometimes you see a person say, what are you thinking? Are you okay? What's on your mind? You can't tell. And just as it is for good, it also is for bad. You know, I'm trying to remember this Yoruba proverb. It said, all the lizards are lying on the floor or on the ground, but nobody knows the one that has a bad belly or a belly that is in revolt. Everybody looks alike, everybody looks the same. All children of God, we're all doing the will of God. Amen. We're all going to heaven. What a day of rejoicing. Yeah, but what are you thinking? What do you put your mind upon? Bible says, let your mind be stayed upon him. What do you stay your mind upon? What makes the bulk of your thoughts? Now, I know we can't think of one thought all the time, but whenever you, this is how the Lord puts it. So whenever you look at what you're thinking about, what do you see? Whenever you stop and pause after all, you know, some time, what is in your mind? What are you thinking about? What do you meditate upon? Amen? Amen? And what this means is that all of us have to be very careful, particularly in this season we're in, because while no man can see what you're thinking or know what you're thinking unless you tell him, God is all the while scanning your thoughts. All the while. Nothing that you think or don't think you think escapes him. Nothing. Sometimes you have these fleeting thoughts. But God caught that thought. And unless you repent of it and stop doing it, you know, the angels are writing it down. There's a written record of your thoughts, your words, and deeds. So on that day, I know what I'm saying this, on that day when you get to the judgment of Christ and you stand and say, well, these were your thoughts. I know, but God, you know, I didn't think, no. These are your thoughts. I can tell you the time, the second, and the day, everything was written down. So what am I saying, folks? We need to guard our thoughts. We need to guard it jealously. Amen? The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, let's see now, verse 9. Let's start there. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. Maybe I should just quote it. Okay. The Bible says, the eyes of the Lord, oh, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Why? To show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Now I said, Herod, I've done foolishly, but that's not where we're going. This is that God, nothing in your mind, nothing that we think in our hearts, not even the private confines of the depths of our hearts, nothing escapes God. Nothing. It's all like an open book to him, this God with which we have to do. So the essence of that is, if you know that, then you have a strong impetus, as it were, to make sure that your thoughts are his thoughts, so that your words can be his words and your ways his ways. Amen? Because it says, he shows himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart or whose thoughts are perfect towards you. And what this implies is that finding a perfect heart, a heart with a perfect godly thought life, you know, that shouldn't really be strange, you know. When we say you're Christians, it should mean automatically, but it's not so, that we have a godly thought life. But that's not true, because there's a sin nature still there. So sometimes the impetus of that sin nature, the presence and the working of that sin nature, hinders our thoughts. And so instead of having thoughts that align with the will of God, we think thoughts that are not true, that are not honest, that are not just, that are not pure, that are not comely. That's what I say, think on these things. Amen? And so we find a very, very, very rare, uncommon thing for even Christians to have a perfect heart, a perfect godly heart, a perfect thought life. Amen? It brought me to mind, brought to my mind what God said about the son of Jesse. Acts chapter 13, verse 22. Let's read it together. Acts 13 and 22. Acts 13 and 22. And when he had removed, he was raised up, and then David to be the king, to whom he gave testimony. Now this is God's testimony. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, who shall fulfill all my will. Give me this in Amplified, AMPC. I wrote it down here. See what it says. It says, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will and carry out my program fully. You know what that tells us? That tells that David, even though he was a man, he had his own mind, will, emotions, and thoughts and all that. David had made up his mind somewhere along the line, and God recognized it, that he was willing to do all of the will of God, no matter what it took. That's why this is celebrated. That's why it's written here. It's the word of God. Cannot be broken. It says, he's going to do all of my will and program fully. In other words, he doesn't have his own will. Shakara. Not my will, but thy will be done, O God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ right there. And he says, not only what he's going to do, he's going to finish his program, carry it out fully. Now, for God to say this, it means that David was really serious. And that's why, the church is called the Tabernacle of David. So God, what I'm saying is this, God is looking for people with hearts like this. Particularly in this time that we are in, when God is about to bring a close to this age, he's looking for a set of people. It doesn't have to be too many. But he's looking for people who will align their will so much with God's will, and we say, not my will, but thy will be done in every situation, in every measure or metric of human observance. That means everything goes to him first. You have no will of your own. It's hard to give it up, because that will has been strengthened by satanic opposition influence for years, decades. Most of your life, you didn't do God's will. Then all of a sudden you get born again, God said, now do my will. As you begin to find out what the will of God, you don't even know it all yet. You begin to now search the scriptures. What exactly does that's what David did. God, he got to a point where he came to an understanding that his life did not mean anything unless he was doing the will of God. The will of God became the most paramount thing. And that's what God recorded here. So I found him. God was looking, was saying, where can I find such a man like this who has determined who will do all my will and carry out my program, whatever it is I want to do, fully. Gave himself up totally and completely. Folks, this is the way we're going on. Thank God the Bible calls the church the Tabernacle of David. This is the example that God gave us to follow after the Lord Jesus, of course. So in other words, it's only those who have a heart like David who seek after God's will to fulfill it that God is actually looking for. It says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the whole, looking for men whose hearts are aligned to his. A rare occurrence, the Bible, because God had to look all over to find it. Now, let's also look at the same is actually being true today. The end time church, we all know it. In Amos chapter 9, it says, call the Tabernacle of David. That is not a misnomer there. What it's saying is that the same attributes that endeared the original David to God, he now wants to infuse into the church or the tabernacle or the house that will be in this end time, that is making in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ, the son of David, to, like David, have no other agenda on the earth except to see the kingdom of God come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's why the end time church is called the tabernacle or the dynasty of David, because the David heart that is perfect towards the Lord and all his purposes is now going to be infused into the end time tabernacle of God, the church made in the image and the likeness of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that church is now going to fulfill his perfect will in the earth. Amen. Amen. And that's why we're here, folks. The point we bring today is that we need to take heed to our thoughts. We need to take heed. Now, I know we're doing it already, but I believe, like Pastor Gideon was saying, we are entering a Kairos moment when even our thoughts are no longer ours. Even what we think and imagine, what we say in our hearts, everything is being tested. Everything is being looked at. Everything being examined. Everything is even being written down. Hello? Every thought. Oh, but you know that, like the one I was preparing his door, say it. When you get to the throne of grace, that judgment, whether it's for great white throne or even the judgment of judgment of condemnation, everything's going to be out there. Every thought you ever had. Of course, you can cancel them if you're a bad thought, you know. But this is every thought throughout your end. It's almost impossible to conceptualize how that can happen. But every thought is being written down. As I'm thinking, the angels are writing it down. What I think, what I become. But everything I think is being written down as a record. So God will not just judge the actions, but also judge the thoughts behind it that cause the action. That's how you get a perfect picture. So on that day, they'll bring the big book out. Where are the thoughts? Book of memories. And lay it down. Then look at all his achievements or whatever he God has enabled him to do. And then look at how, that in verse 6, Proverbs 23:6. Eat thou not the bread of him that has an evil eye. That evil eye is not talking about, mind. Neither desire thou his dainty meats. That means whatever he offers. Next verse. For as he what? In his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with him. I wrote verse 8. Next verse, even the verse. The morsel which I was eating shall thou vomit on the Lord. But the essence is this. Don't get involved. He says, go back to verse 6. Thank you. Back to verse 6, please. 28. 6. Not 9. That's an upside down 6. Eat not the bread that has an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. Evil eyes there, the eyes of his understanding. No, his mind is evil. And you know, it's possible to tell whose mind is evil just by the things that he says. Because of the abundance of the heart. Next verse. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As he thinketh, in other words, it's what you think in your heart that makes you what you are. Not what you say with your mouth. Unless those words are spiritual, are aligned with what God is saying. Amen? What you say is very important. But ultimately, God says, of the abundance of what is in your heart, the mouth speaketh. Not so? Now, the question is, what is the abundance of our hearts? That is an almighty question. What is in our hearts so that when we speak that word, it comes out as words that are positive and not words that are negative. Words that will create, not destroy. That abundance can only be a life, a heart full of a life and the power of God. So anyone who doesn't have that, no matter what he says, no matter how highfalutin you are, that means his thoughts, even though the words are platitudes of, thank you, you know. And, you know, sometimes we Christians can be very, very gullible. Hello? He's a nice man. He's such a nice man. Really? Really? Who told you? Who's just because of the words he says? Only the words cannot justify, folks. We've got to two words with actions. And then the result of those words and actions. Before you know, 12:24. Next verse. Look at the next verse. Aha. Go back. Please go back. One verse. Go back. One verse. Matthew 12:24. Thank you. When the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out devils by Beelzebub." They were saying, "What is in Jesus' heart?" Can you imagine? Jesus. Say he's not casting out devils by, he's casting out devils by the prince of devils. Because Jesus said what he said. Next verse. Next verse, please. 25. And Jesus, they didn't say it out. They said it in their minds. This is brought to desolation. Every cedar house divided itself against itself shall not stand. Give me the next verse. I think I want that. Yes. 26. If Satan casts out Satan, he's divided against him. How then shall his kingdom stand? You know what he's saying? He said the Satan kingdom is in their minds. Satan's kingdom was in the mind. They says, for the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, from these scriptures, we can see that what is the function, like I just said, of our thoughts or our mind, our wills, emotions, heart attitudes, what we think about, what we meditate, what we give our heart over to think upon. And I said, all this is being constantly monitored, both by Lord Jesus, as well as by the devil. Because he's the one that put those thoughts there. Hello? The words and our actions that we speak determine our ultimate destiny. It sounds very silly, you know, that why should the words that I speak and the thoughts that I think is? The words you speak, they will determine ultimately, and the thoughts you think, they will ultimately determine our destiny. Look at Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10. Jeremiah 17, verse 10. It's a very familiar verse. We're not going to spend too much time today trusting God to give us a word, and let's finish. Say, I, the Lord, do what? Search the heart. I try the reins, even to give to every man according to the fruit of his doings. Now, the fruit there he's talking about is a consequence of what is in the heart and what is in his reins. Because that's his heart, what's in the heart. I try the reins. The reins are the things that what make you do what you do. Like, you know, when you're riding a horse, you pull the rein and it goes right. You pull the rein and it goes right. So the thoughts which are in your heart, and then what it makes you do, God tries it and he judges it, and it is what bothers that man. Whether born again or not born again, that's what he does for every man. So what are we saying here? We need to pay great attention to the words that we think and also the words that we speak. But primarily, this is the focus. God says, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. They are thoughts of peace to give you an end and an expectation. And he expects that knowing that, we will also, in the same way and likewise, will now cleanse our minds, remove that sin nature as much as possible, walk in the light as he is in the will bring us into the fullness of our prophetic and divine destiny. Folks, why is this important? We are now in a season where God is building his perfect church. That is present powers. Amen? Bring judgment to Satan's camp. The church that is going to be the most powerful entity in creation. That's amazing. I never thought about that before. The most powerful entity, whether spiritually or physically or whatever, nothing will equal or be able to overcome this church. Boy, folks, that's a wonderful statement right there. All of the enemy's camp will bow to this church. So surely, God is in thee. Surely, you are of God, and there is none else. Ephesians chapter 3, let me give you the AMPC. Ephesians 3:10. Please, give me the AMPC. I don't know why I wrote that. Ephesians 3:10, amplify. This is it. What is the purpose behind all this, particularly in the area of the mind? The purpose is that through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety, innumerable aspects might now be made known to the angelic rulers, authorities, principalities and powers in the heavenly sphere. Folks, this is our destiny. Through the church, the complicated, When it says complicated, many-sided wisdom of God, in all its infinite variety, in all its innumerable aspects, might now be made known. How is he going to do that? To the church. The church is going to declare that, manifest it, and not only manifest it, truth's coming to your mind, your will, emotions, your physical body, your circumstance, far more than you can ever imagine. So get out every opposing thought. Anything that is going to hinder what God wants to do in our minds, our wills, emotions, physical body, and lose it. Because this is ahead of us. Look what it says, complicated. Now, it's not just straight ahead wisdom. A wisdom that has different branches, different applications. The multiple sided wisdom of God. Many sided wisdom of God. It said, in all its infinite, that's why I read in the Amplified, in all its infinite variety. I didn't know there was only, I thought there was only one variety of wisdom. There are different kinds, there are different levels, there are different applications, there are different outworkings of God's wisdom. And he says it's infinite. Just like God is. Now, that kind of wisdom cannot coexist in a heart that has not been cleansed. It can't. It will just not. There's no way you can understand this without cleansing and purifying our thoughts and our hearts. That's what I was saying. Words, thoughts, and wisdom. The Lord will have mercy upon us. So God, because he has given us this wonderful mandate to us men, and in and through the hearts, the thoughts, and actions of all men. That's why he said this one, look, this is your purpose. That through you, it says thee here, but it only comes from God. Through my, it sounds to me like something that is way beyond anything that anybody can ask or can imagine or even dream. The many-sided wisdom of God in all this infinite variety and innumerable aspects might now be made known through the church. Through the church to. Do you get it? Made known through the church to the angelic rulers and authorities, principalities and powers. You are the executor of that. You and I. I'm there too, by the grace of God. But the essence is that this is what we're looking at. That's why I say, folks, we need to take care of what's for. Not just once in a while. Not just when you finally, off. Those days have to come to a close. So that all the time, even if you're not thinking thoughts, keep your mouth working for God. You know? When I say, for the abundance of our mouths, your heart will continue to speak out and speak out as you speak with your mind. And gradually, over a period of time, you find out that the more you pray in tongues, the more you find that your thought, or at least I'm finding out, says, is more and more sanctified. There's some things that when they come, you block it immediately. You don't even allow it to land. No, thank you, Pastor. Not here. About 10 years, I didn't know it was possible 10 years ago. You'd be fighting to remove the thing. But nowadays, I find it sometimes a little easier just to cancel the thought. But that means, you know what that means? That means you have to be alert all the time. That's what about, Lord, am I showing you? The moment it comes, pim, close your heart. Pim, refuse that. Say a word, pray in tongues. Get rid of it. In all this infinite variety, it might be made known. Psalms 115. Please let me see. Sorry about that. Psalms 115 and 16. Mercy, Lord. Through the hearts and the thoughts and actions of men. Look at what it says. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. So what God is saying? I desire who was so connected to me that whatever I want to download into the earth will go in and be made manifest in the earth among the children of men. He's still looking for this group of people. That's the essence of our entire sojourn in Christ. He wants to download. Something just flashed in my mind. He wants to download his heavens to the sons of men. He wants to bring what is heavenly, what is in the heavenlies. You know, there's first heaven, there's second heaven, there's Satan's, and there's his heavens, way above. He wants to bring all that down and to tabernacle with the sons of men so that there'll be a free flow, from God to heaven. Us to heaven, God back to us to heaven, God back to heaven. Like that ladder, Jacob's ladder. He says, this is none other than the place of God. House of God. And all the angels, watch angels ascend. That's what God wants to reproduce. He wants to reproduce in each individual life. So that you're not just here, loose and, you know, fancy free. You are connected to the God of heaven and earth. 24/7. No interruption of radio transmission. Hearing loud and clear. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. That's what your response is going to be. I'm trying to tell you what the response is when you hear things from heaven. Lord, thank you. Wow, thank you. God will show you something like this saying, ah, wow. You'll be amazed. We will be amazed. Let me include myself. So, beloved, God has to work through men now to bring his will upon the earth. And here, particularly here in Nigeria. Amen? Thank God for our nation, Nigeria. God is changing our land. Amen. Say amen, somebody. Look at, I got to give you a scripture too. God is a wonderful God. Look at Ezekiel chapter 22. I think it's 22. Yes, 22. Start from verse 29, I think. Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 22 and 29. Now, we're making a transition. All right? I believe God spoke to him and said, this is where we are now. But we're not going to stay here. The people of the land have used what? Oppression. Have exercised robbery. This is Nigeria. And have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Does this compute? Next verse. Next verse. And I sought for a man among them. God is looking for this. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land. And I should not destroy it, but I found none. That would not be our portion in Jesus' name. What I'm emphasizing is that, folks, we've been called to this. To stand in the gap. Okay, let me finish. Okay, let me get back. We'll get back to it. Let me finish the scripture. Next verse, please. Therefore, now this will not happen. But I'm saying this is a consequence of God's eyes who run through and fro the whole earth, looking for a person whose hearts are perfect towards him, finding none. This is what God will do. It will not be our portion. We're just saying it for an understanding of why God does not want to do this. Therefore, I poured out my indignation. I have consumed them with fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord. This will not be our portion. But the essence is God has to find, we go back to verse 30, to 29. God has to find a man or a group. When I say a man, it could be a corporate man. Not a child, not a baby, a man. Grown up. Hello? Next, give me the upper verse. 20, yeah. Yeah, verse 30, yeah. And I sought for a man. Shakarakada. A man child company. Under the authority of spiritual men. Children can be there, but they're under authority. But they be men. Yeah? Talks about the disciples who are the sons of Issachar, who are men. Sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, stand in the gap before me for them that should not destroy, but I found none. That will not be our portion. What I'm saying is God is looking. He's searching all throughout, particularly now in Nigeria. Nigeria is we know that, the focal point, the arrowhead of what God is doing in the earth today. There are other places he's moving, but Nigeria is special because we have a divine prophetic destiny, a divine prophetic undertaking under God to bring forth the first fruits of the glory of God out of this land which the rivers divide beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. And we see in Nigeria, we see oppression, robbery, everybody's vexed, eh? And there's only one solution. A man, a corporate man, a church with the leadership and the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, amen, and a fully submitted followership. That's what God is building right now. Hello? Give me Revelation 11:5. I wrote it here. Revelation 11:5. Quickly, please. We'll come back to this. Revelation 11:5. Revelations. Is there, no, no, no. Is it 11? 12. Sorry. 12. Forgive me. 12:5. Aha, thank you, 12:5. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with all of her, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. In other words, God is raising up this man child company now in this land beyond the rivers of Ethiopia that will demonstrate to principalities and powers his manifold wisdom. And it's begun, folks. It's begun. You know, when we go to Good Morning Jesus now, I just say, what is my going to say now? What are we going to give thanks for again today? Eh? What did God do? Yeah, it's, you know, sometimes you miss the news, but when you get to Good Morning Jesus, mommy is giving thanks and he's saying this and that. And say, ah, hold on to teach you. No, praise God. Folks, one step at a time, one thing at a time, we're making progress. God is establishing his purpose and prophetic will concerning this nation. So be encouraged, folks. We are in the majority. Amen. We are in the majority. Oh, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, 12, 13, it says, till we all, give me that, come in the unity of the faith, Ephesians, yes, for the perfection of the saints, we read it every week, which you all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, being no more children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but speaking the truth in love, by a slight to men and cunning half away by the heart in wait to see. Next verse. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things which is the head, even Christ. That's our portion. That's in Nigeria, that's where we're going. In Nigeria, that is what God is doing now. Amen? A perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ. The Bible says, I and the children of God has given for me are for signs and for wonders. That perfect man-child church company, by the grace and mercy of God, is now in the earth and is now being matured as we speak today. We are witnessing so many different things at the same time. But I want to know there's going to have to be, there's a paradigm shift. There's going to be a paradigm shift. And as I was preparing this, I was talking with Pastor, I think it was Pastor Kunle that came in. No, it was, I called Pastor Dewey. Then I went, there was one description, remember the description that Papa Kelly wrote? And he said, put that description inside this message. So I said, Lord, but I couldn't remember it because I heard it so many times. You know, I hear something over and over again and then you can't remember. I felt so bad. So I had to call somebody and say, ah, okay, this is say. So we're going to see this shift from this ineffective, man-centered, needs-oriented, entertainment-based church, and it's going to shift to a Christ-centered, kingdom-oriented, anointing-based, perfect church that will now demonstrate all of God's manifold wisdom and powers to principalities and powers, both spiritual and physical. So you know there are physical principalities too. People that they're no greed. They think they are lords, lords temporal. And lords. We're going to have to overcome everyone. All those guys are going to fall for his sakes by the word of God upon our lips in Jesus' name. We are getting to a point in our nation now where I believe with all my heart that we have the victory. But there's going to be opposition. Or rather, let me say, there's coming opposition. That's why we're seeing all the, but we can see, oh, again, thank God for his name. Let's give it a clap of applause. You know, some things that we thought were so intractable and impossible. Remember the exchange rate? So they said that it's going to take 3 years for the currency to come down. I say, what? Who's going to survive it? But look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord, suddenly, thank you. Folks, we are on the winning side, though. We are on the, even when I you know, look at I don't read the papers, I don't know. But when I look at my phone this in the morning, I just say, Lord, what else have you done now? What else? What has happened? And you will find it. Progress is being made on a steady, daily basis. It's supernatural. It's not because they're different. It's just because God has said, this land, beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, is going to bring forth my glory in this day. And he's taking all the steps to bring it to pass. We're not special, folks. All we have is a God who is determined to bring forth out of the race as black and comely a people called by his own name. Amen? So we're special in that sense, but we're also very understanding that it's just the beginning. We are just the template that others will be built upon. Amen? What a privilege that is itself. So this is it, folks. So God is now demonstrating his manifold wisdom and power to principalities and powers, both in the spiritual and physical, in the physical and the and the physical realm. We say physical realm. Who are the ones in the physical? You remember Simon the sorcerer? He was a principality. He was a power in that area. What did God do? God nullified him. Completely took him out. And like that, there are principalities and powers in our own human existence in Nigeria today. People that have sat upon this land for years, for decades. They've not only sat upon it, they have passed it to their children. As if Nigeria belongs to them. That day is over. God is removing the chairs and their thrones from under them, and he's giving it to his church. Believe me, folks. God is turning already. And you can see the heathen, they're all shouting. Father, forgive me, I shouldn't call them that. But they're all making noise. There are noise here, noise there. Kidnapping here, kidnapping there. Somebody wants to be your call. They are making noise because they can see what's happening. They know, even their so-called spiritual people, I don't know what they call them, but they themselves are now saying, oh, I don't do it again, Jerry. I saw a report of one guy who he gave everything. I read the whole example. He was giving his guy away. The governor of the state was giving him. He said everything the governor did. He said, you go and start a vigilante group. The guy wanted some people to be using a strong arm in the state. He couldn't say it to himself. I didn't do it by himself. So he got this funny guy. And he said, go and set up a vigilante group that will be doing whatever I tell them to do. Anyway, long story short. Those guys, they went and did something, and the head of them was caught. He's in jail now. Now he's singing like a bird. Now this man was the one that did it all. He gave me this money. He told me to come here this day. Every detail there. Now the governor that he was implicating has not said a word. What can he say? The man has given all the evidence. That kind of thing is going to be more common. People will come and say, I bow, please, oh, let my life be precious in your sight. Eh? This is what happened. I'm not doing this again, please. You'll see. Repentance is going to... There's a wave of repentance that's going to come. When they begin to see the power of God in full manifestation, when they begin to see that there's nowhere to hide, when they begin to see that there's a God in control of Nigeria, and he's not their own God, then they will say, ah, this is the hand of God. The real God. For there are God's many. Amen. Folks, what am I trying? I'm trying to encourage us, folks. The day of our showing has come. In Nigeria. Yes. Now, let me see. I think I got some... all right. So, yes. Oh, glory to God. So, this is it. I and the children, blah, blah, blah. Now, okay. How do we do this? I'm going to say how now. We align our thoughts, words, and deeds to fulfill divine destiny. We go to the roots. The roots. Where's the root of anything you do? The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so the battle we have is not with any, we'll battle principalities and powers and stuff, but the essence of the battle we have is to refine our minds, our wills, and emotions by the power and the life of Almighty God and by the Word of God. Because by the entrance of the world becomes, he brings light. And this is really the battle that we have now. As a man thinketh in his heart, or willeth in his heart, so is he. So we need to work upon, by the power of the Spirit, the battle in our hearts, in our minds, wills, and emotions. Amen? And so what do we do? Well, Lord gave me a very, we've all been doing it for years. So I just want to just hit them and go running. So what do we do? I wrote this, we take our thoughts captive. By spiritual force. Now, thank God in this house, by the grace and mercy of God, we are very well taught and we are very well trained. If you've been a member of this house for any length of time, you know that prayer is not a side thing. It's the main, central, right in front of you focus thing. Taking our thoughts captive by spiritual force to bring them in subjection to God's will. First of all, though, we humble ourselves. Very, very important. We humble ourselves and then we take that the armor of God. Let's look at Matthew chapter 11, 28 for the example. Very common verse. We all know it. But it's worth reading again. Matthew chapter 11, 28. This is the example that we have. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Folks, there's no rest anywhere else except in Christ. No rest anywhere else except in Christ. Those who are looking for it in different places, eventually they will come back to Christ, if they're wise. But I believe they will, because you see, the glory of God that is going to be demonstrated in this land by those who observe this and go to Christ for rest and begin to walk in that rest will be so tremendous, will be so overwhelming. God is not going to leave himself in any doubt to anybody where the rest is, where they can find true rest in their souls. You'll not be emanating that rest. Have you been with people, they're having I don't know if it's happened to you, it's happened to me several times, where even just the vibes they're sending to you is wrong. You can pick it. Particularly if you know where I was, I studied New York. You go walk into a shop, a white shop, forgive me, Father, a shop that they look at people like me, how in the world can he afford anything in this place? It happened to me quite a number of times. But thank God, God was powerful. Amen? So when you walk in, they say, excuse me, sir, can I help you, sir? Can I help you, sir? Black and comely, amen? I didn't know all this then, but I was very, very strong on that when I was there. You know, and sometimes I wear my agbada, so they will know that it's not any small person that's come. So when I'm stretching during summertime, I can't do it in winter, it's too much for me. But during the summertime, you put on your agbada, you go, and you purposely. My school was in Upper Manhattan, and there were shops all around, all these coffee shops and bistros, and where all these big people used to eat. They would go there and they used to be eating. I said, okay, let me too go and eat one day. So I went there, and I stood there. They were just looking at me. I just stood there. I didn't move. And so after a while, they got tired of looking. They came and said, please, what would you? I said, I want to eat. Can you have a table for me? I'll get back to you, sir. So he goes back. And then I'm sitting with my brother and I'm looking at everybody. And they're all looking at me. You know, it's in the doorway, so everybody can see you. After a while, they came and said, please follow me, sir. So they sit me down in the table in the corner. I said, I'm not sitting here. So I said, that's the only table we have. I said, no, you've got to find me a table. Find me a table. And so they did. And I ordered my food. And I left a very nice tip. I didn't finish the food, but just to show, yeah, I mean, you know, they expect you to take the food home because you're a black man. Yeah, you have to understand where they're coming from. That day is over. No more. You have to understand where they're coming from. You go to a place in New York, same New York, when you cross this, you don't even know the line is there. But there's some place where you're walking, you're just going for a walk. Once you cross that line, you've entered into mafia territory. Anything can happen to you. Believe me. So they warn you, say, when you reach that street, just stay on the curb. Don't cross to the other side. Don't go over the tar to the other side. So you stand on your side, Brooklyn, looking at mafia land. Those days are gone. There will be no place that we will not enter. We'll go and preach that gospel. Deliver them from their destructions. They will not be able to stop us. And it's going to be the first, this is what I love most, the first fruits of that army will be black. So they have to come to an understanding that black is not inferior. It just came last. Last doesn't mean inferior. Last means last. Last means there were others before. Now, it's my turn. They're going to see it loud and clear. At first, they're going to fight it. But when they don't get healed, when the Lord tells them, see that guy that you were in his church last week and you're thinking horrible thoughts to go back there and submit to him. Then they will come. It's going to happen. We've seen it happen in Israel. We've seen it happen even in the whites, Caucasian churches. So this is it, folks. So we first humble ourselves. Very important. The Bible says that, you know, Jesus Christ humbled himself. Did we finish reading that next verse? I just got off on this. I think it was verse 28 that we saw. 1920. I think we finished that. But the essence is this. The peace is with Jesus Christ. The rest is with God. Amen? First, we'll humble ourselves and conduct ourselves properly. Very important. And it says, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. Now, this is us. This is where the victory is going to come from. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Folks, what this tells me? It tells me that there is a warfare that is in the flesh. Father, forgive me. Can I say that? When you get to a place where they are saying the same word over. That is more than likely to be in the flesh. If that's how to pray. You know, they have all kinds of machinations and all kinds of different ways to pray. Sometimes you go on a mountain and you're there for 3 or 4 days rolling around in the grass. That's flesh. But we, by the grace and mercy of God, under the covering of the Father's house, we do not war after the flesh. Our warfare is not carnal. It's not carnal. I've been in this church now for 30-something years. I have never, ever, ever been asked to war after the flesh. Always. Right from day one. Right from day one. It was always in the spirit. Pastor never taught anything else. Mommy never taught anything. And then, not only did they teach it, they also exemplified it. So you're in a quandary. If this is, Father, forgive me. And just, an anecdote may help. There was one day I came here. I was coming from Odogwu. I was working there then. And I rented a car, or somebody came with my car. I don't know. I'm sure, yes, I rented a car. Because I think my car was in the mechanics. Anyway, I came in there, and I drove down this place, as I was approaching, the man just stopped. I said, "Why did you stop?" I could hear the shouting. The awesome travail power that was coming. This man said, "Kino share there, no." I said, "Oh God, they're praying. I should be telling Lord, is that where you're going?" I said, "Yeah, just drop me around the floor of the church and turn around." Ah, the guy said, "Ah, oh God, that's where you're going." I said, "Quick, just don't waste time." In fact, they almost finished. Quick. I was coming from Odogwu. The guy said, "Ah, what is going on?" Anyway, long story short, as soon as my feet touched the ground like this, as soon as the door went, "Bish," boom! He had no clue. All he heard was it was all in the flesh. But he did not know that this is travailing prayer. This is what sets men free. This is what makes it possible for us to walk in the freedom whereunto Christ has bought for us. Amen? This is, folks, we're entering into really deep waters in this time now. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Next verse. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. This warfare cannot be done with anything that has carnality in it. It will fall flat. And that's what's going to make a distinction. Why people will now say, "Let us go up to Mount Zion to learn up." Because they'll find that everything that they've done so far becomes totally ineffective and ineffectual, because it's not done in the power of the Spirit, but it is carnal. So they're going to say, "Let's go to that place." We know that when they pray there, God pulls down strongholds. God casts down imaginations. God brings every high thing under his power in that place. There will be a difference. So they're going to come. "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Next verse. And this is where it begins. Casting down imaginations. In other words, what's an imagination? It's not a structured thing. It's just something that you conjure up. That's why it calls it imagine. You know, it's your mind. It's not a reality. It's something that you conjure up. You think this is how it should be. You think this is what it should be. You imagine you have this. You imagine you have that. Or you imagine, more accurately, you are this. Or you are that. Which means when you get into this kind of prayer, this kind of travailing prayer we pray in this place by the grace of God. I know it happened to me. I mean, every attitude, every idea I thought I had, and I thought for some time that it's all gone. God said, "You're not finished yet. There's so much more there you need to take care of." Every imagination, Every high thing, and all of us have it. We have high places in our minds. Hello? Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now imagine that. And you have a thing in your mind that exalts against the epignosis. That knowledge is not just ordinary knowledge. It's not gnosis. It's epignosis of God. The revelation knowledge of God, who He is, who wants you to be, what He is to you. There's something in mind that is blocking that thing. The only way to cast it down is by travailing prayer. And by the grace of God, that is what we've been doing since I've been here anyway. And we are still doing. And that's why by the grace and mercy of God, I believe with all my heart that God is going to be in this place and demonstrate to us His manifold wisdom. Because by the grace and mercy of God, we're bringing to captivity every thought, causing our thoughts to align with God's obeying Christ. Next verse. Having arranged to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The essence is this, folks. This time we're entering into, this day when God is going to move mightily, is going to be an important day. And the only way we can be part of it is to constantly, constantly cast down imaginations, constantly travail in prayer to bring into captivity every thought. That says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Folks, there's no shortcut. There's no shortcut. I can tell you that from, by the grace of God, from experience. There's no shortcut. This is the importance of the effectual, fervent, prevailing prayer. We pray on a daily basis. Good morning, Jesus. Folks, now, I know that sometimes it can be a bit difficult. But, stay with it. You stay with it. Stay with it. There were times, I remember in the early years, there were times when I would be praying and I say, Lord, I'm tired. I'm tired. I can't do this anymore. I went through a portion of that. I can't do this. It's hard. You know? God said, it's not you. It's not what that's hard. It's your flesh that's on that. So it was like, you know, from one thought to a message from Him what to do about it. And since that day, by the grace and mercy of God, I've never looked back. There's a system. There's a way to do it. Folks, all this done with an attitude of submission to God, humility, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So this is how we do it, folks. Humility and in effectual, fervent, travailing prayer, the word of God in our hearts. We read the word on a constant basis. Everything we're doing, good morning, Jesus. It's as simple as that. Everything that the fathers are showing and teaching us by example. Folks, there's no shortcut. There's no shortcut. So come, those of us who are here, of course, we do that already. Many of us do, or we should. When we get up in the morning, set our alarms or whatever you have to do. But now you should be even using an alarm anyway. But anyway, if it's necessary, do so. But the essence is this. Be there. Some days, you'll get it right. But that's not they're not going. They are there to show you that it can be done. They're there to show you that it is possible. They like to lead us by example. They've been doing it for years now, decades. I can say that with authority because I've been here. Decades. Everything that they tell us to do, they have done themselves. 30-something years of walking it. It works, folks. Folks, we're not going anywhere until we get this glory. I don't know about you, but as far as me, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Until He comes, or until He comes for us, whichever. It's a great privilege to be in this house, folks. And I'm looking at some of the most privileged people in the universe right now. I'm telling you the truth. What we are witnessing, particularly in our nation, and then you come back here and you pray another one, you read the newspaper again, it's happened. And it's happening thing, just a flash in the pan. It's a consistent thing now. You pray, and you see the thing come to pass. You see reported in the news, you see Israel do what it's going to do, see the man in Russia, you know? Putin, thank you. Lord gave me a word for Putin. We pray, my pastor, D and I were praying it, and with Pastor Andrew the other day, Pastor Andrew, he said that it came from the book of Esther. which we just read some time ago. And I saw it. I said, ah, wow, this is interesting. So the Lord made me look up Zelensky. And I found out whether he was a Jew. And I thought he was a Jew, actually a Jew. In fact, he and his president, or the guy next to him, they're both Jews. Ah. So I remember that phrase that Zeresh, the wife of Haman, said to Haman when he came from the palace. After I told him to lead Mordecai around. And he came to report himself to his wife. And I said, ah, this guy is a Jew. And you are starting to fall before him. If he's a Jew, you are not going to overcome this guy. Hello? I believe that's a word for the Ukraine. But you know, we are spiritual Jews. So equal applies to us. Nothing, the only thing that can defeat us is our not standing in the place where God has appointed us to. Where we're going is so wonderfully, so says, eye has not seen, ear has not, and eyes have not seen the things that God prepared for those that love him. Where we're going is so wonderful that there's a man will look and say, surely God is in you. He'll come bowing unto you. You won't receive the bowing, no. But see, that's what the effulgence of the glory of God that is coming to you because of the things that they're teaching us now, which we are following now. That's what's going to cause in the hearts of men. They want to see, they see God in you, they want to worship. They say, oh, no, I'm a man like you. So listen, folks, no shortcuts. This is the importance of effectual travailing prayer, which we practice every single day on Good Morning Jesus. Amen? And of course, prior to that, we make room for the Lord Jesus. Amen? Amen? And as we make more room for Jesus, God is inhabiting. Amen? The more we make for him, the more he'll inhabit. The more we make for him, the more he'll inhabit. The more room we... Those prayers are not in vain. I've discovered that. Those initial prayers that we pray for, making room for Jesus. More and more of the travail our soul. And so please join us. One last verse that I'm going to read before we close this. Merciful, let's thank God. Give me 2 Peter, chapter 1. Chapter 1. We'll start to read from verse 2. I think, yeah. 2 Peter 1, 2. Simon Peter. Okay, let's start from verse 1. All right? Okay. Is this the next? Okay, give me that other one. 2 Peter chapter. Yes, 1 verse 1. Okay, start from verse 1 since we started there. Let's read it from there. Folks, this is us. This is us. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Well, we're not apostles yet, but we're going to become, amen? What I'm saying, the essence of what we're doing is this. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of us here have obtained that faith? All right, okay. So stop there. Now it says, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. That knowledge is there, epignosis. Exact, precise, perfect knowledge. Next verse. According as his divine power will give unto us. Oh, has. So, this applies to us also. Has given unto us one or two things. A few things we can manage. All things. Everything. God has laid the book open. He has made his entire arsenal. He's made his word known. He's made us to understand the times and the seasons of our being. He's made us to know that the time is short. He's telling us, rise, shine, for thy light is come. And the glory of God is risen. He can see it. He can see it. But it's nice for us and the sons of men to see that glory. His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and life through the knowledge. Again, that's not ordinary gnosis. It's epignosis of him that has called us to glory and virtue. I remember when I read these words years and years ago, I said, Lord, can you call a human being to your glory and virtue? And he said, yes. Next verse. Example. 1:4. Whereby... Now, this is where we're going. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. This, for a young Christian who does not understand what this is saying, what is it saying is that God is saying, you can be like me. Hello? I created you to be like me. For you are all gods, and all you are sons of the Most High. When I read this these years ago, I said, Lord, this thing's heavy. I mean, I accepted it by faith, but it took many, many years to work it into me by the grace and mercy of God. I thank God for that great privilege to see this and to work in, walk in it. So it might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Next verse. And beside this, giving when it counts. No. When you think you need it. No. Say all diligence. And I want to say that all the time. I'm not perfect. That's for sure. But I know this is my goal. Giving all diligence, and to your faith, virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. That's epignosis. Next verse. Next verse. To knowledge, temperance. To temperance, patience. To patience, godliness, profitable to all things. Next verse. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, look where it's going, charity. So, you know, the essence of all that is to build you, build love in you to the point that you become like him. Brotherly kindness, godliness becomes brotherly kindness. Thank you for that. Then now brotherly kindness becomes divine love. Next verse. For, now this is the punchline. If these things be in you, and not just in you, but and abound, they, all those things, all those attributes, make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? There's a corollary to that. In other words, if you are not doing it like this, I won't say it's true, but it is not impossible that you are not as well versed in the knowledge of God as you should be. This is what gives you the epignosis. This is what gives you the precise, perfect, exact, complete knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, how you should walk, and of your future, and of the rewards of that walk in Christ, the manifest glory. If these things begin to abound, they shall make it, they shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. But he, that, now he's making a contrast here. His contrast between those who have all those things, now he says, if you lack, in other words, don't lack. Don't lack. But, thank you, he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off. It's amazing, eh? You are blind, you can't see afar off. If you are blind, you're blind, you can't see anything anyway. So, in other words, even if you are blind, so God's going to allow you to see something, but not afar off. Because you have to remove the scale from your eyes to be able to see that far. But even in the spiritual blindness, God still gives an aperture to their eyes to see. To see you, but not see afar off. Now when they see, God expects that seeing to make them turn around and no more lack the things that cause them to become blind. Do you understand what I'm saying? I just came to me by revelation. And has forgotten that he has purged his old sins. Next verse. Wherefore the rather, I love this part. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. There's one that says, give all diligence. I think it's in the same passage. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never, never. And the scripture cannot be broken. And the scripture does not exaggerate. Folks, this is a great life call God has called us to. Let's read verse 11. As he close. For so, hallelujah, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly, not just ministered, shake, abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is where we're going. This is where God has ordained for us to be. We must cleanse ourselves from all filthiness, flesh and spirit. perfecting holiness in the fear of God, making sure that as we do so, that we have proper words, thoughts, and heart attitudes that will not hinder us as God is taking us into the deep end. We're going to the deep end, folks. Thoughts and words and destiny will be fulfilled through those thoughts and words. Lord, give us understanding in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we want to say thank you, first of all, for your great mercy tonight. What a privilege it is to have you speak expressly through us. We're so grateful, Lord. I want to thank you for all your love and all the care that you have demonstrated to us, bringing this word tonight, encouraging us to take hold of our destiny, Lord, and by our thoughts or words to fulfill the same, causing us to be transformed and changed from within to become more and more like you on a daily basis. I want to thank you, Lord, for the privilege of the covering of this house. The great honor that we have to see all these things we are talking about being lived out, being walked in, being perfected before our very eyes through the lives of our fathers. So encouraging us to know that if they did it, as we walk after their steps, walk putting our steps in their steps, as they follow the Lord Jesus, we too will come into the birth of that those wonderful attributes that they have cultivated over the years and are now demonstrating. Thank you, Lord, because you have mercy. You heal our infirmities. You strengthen our weaknesses, Lord. You encourage us both on the right and on the left, causing us to see more and more of our divine destiny fulfilled in our lives, in our hearts and circumstances, in the name of Jesus. And Father, in return, Lord God, we choose, Lord God, to focus and to keep our eyes and our thoughts upon you. Thank you, Lord, because we continue to walk with you. We continue to more, so that this prize of the high calling of the Lord God in Christ is as imminent, Lord God. This day of your showing and reckoning and the manifestation of your glory will not pass us by. Again, we thank you for the great privilege you've given us to be encouraged by these words, Lord, beyond the physical, into the spirit realm where the Lord dwells, where his glory dwells, and for things that must occur on the earth. We thank you, Father, for you are well capable and able. You will do more than we can ask or can think. We thank you, we honor you, the kingdom come, that will be done in, through, for, and by us, as in heaven. Jesus' name.